All right, we are back.
Hola.
After a long hiatus, guys, a lot of life stuff for me happened between me, Mac, and myself. I got married. Those two were pretty busy going to Milsim's as well.
Yeah.
So we are back here, episode 96. Let's just get straight into it. Here we are with Kaz.
Hola.
Panther staff, and as well as what we're going to be talking about today is Kaz's Ops Stalker 2023.
My very first Milsim that I am hosting.
So. Yes. I am excited because this is a topic, a video game actually, that is near and dear to my heart. I am a survival horror, like, you know, DayZ, Stalker, yeah. Arma, those type of old games. I love it. And with Stalker, what is it? Stalker Anomaly?
Anomaly, yeah.
That's the big one that just skyrocketed Stalker back into the limelight again.
Well, it was super old, right?
Yeah, so. and updated mods and everything. But anyways, we're not talking about the game. But I am really into the lore specific of the game. And you picked the right person to pick with because I literally loved that game so much. So, Kaz Ops Stalker 2023. We're going to be going over factions and objectives, the special mechanics. You're going to be having some interesting gameplays here. That is going to be interesting for a lot of players, especially coming from the video game itself. It's going to be interesting. We're going to go over the game rules, a little bit of my suggestions on how I could help you here, because I would love to help you with these stuff, and as well as our closing remarks. Other than that, before we start, how are you doing? You've been working with Panther for how long now?
A year and a half.
Year and a half?
Yes,
wow. How has it been from being, like, player to staff and then...
It's kind of surreal because when I first came here, I was a renter. And the first person that I ever talked to, a part of the staff, was actually the manager, Brayden, who is my manager now. Yeah. So it's just kind of weird, you know, going from that to now being almost in the same position as him. Yeah.
Wow. So. Yeah, you've moved up the ranks pretty quick there.
It feels like it's been a lot longer than it actually is.
Yeah, but, no, a year and a half is almost like the start of that second wave COVID.
Oh my gosh. And the start of the second wave C21 as well. That was around that time. Yeah,
no, I remember that. I was pulling my hair with all that stuff. I almost went gray. anyways, that's been defeated. But again, we're not here to talk about. We're here to talk about your game.
Yeah.
Stalker 2023. So it's basically a simulation based on the video game series itself. Post-apocalyptic. For those who don't know, it's a post-apocalyptic zone near Chernobyl.
Yes.
And it is based on the 1980s, 1986 technically, when the Chernobyl disaster happened.
Yeah.
And then with going to lore specific here, basically what ends up happening is you have a bunch of groups pile into the zone. And it becomes, you know, a big shrouded mystery of what is going on there. And that's where your sort of theme starts. Yeah. Is that correct?
My take on this, it's not necessarily following the games. I wanted to put my own spin on it. And I chose, because there's still lots for me to learn. I only started playing the games about a few months ago. And that's where I first got the idea, like, hey, this would be really cool to do. But it's more a take on these are the most well-known factions that I've seen in the community, and also the most well-known factions that I know personally.
Yep.
And I decided to put a spin on it and make those the two clashing enemies in my own narrative timeline, I suppose.
Okay, all right. And before we get into factions here, so the zone, you're basically picking Panther as one of the zones.
Yes.
Do you have a name for that zone yet? I know it's going to be close to Chernobyl because the goal is to get to Chernobyl.
Yeah.
This is just part of that story.
I haven't found a name for it. I haven't found a location that I would likely put it. But if there was any location that closely resembles it with lots of hills, lots of trees, you know, the little town as in that would be city with all the small buildings, I think Cordon would be.
Cordon?
Yeah, that would be the... Probably the most likely area.
I was thinking
for that.
The Red Forest.
Well, Red Forest is that's a lot closer, right? Like that place is
spooky.
Spooky.
Yes.
Spooky stuff.
If you play the game, it's a very difficult, especially in Anomaly, they just made it much more harder.
Yeah.
So based on the the Stalker series, what timeline are you looking at? I'm guessing it's right at par with when it begins, or is it after or before? Or?
I'm taking it place again, I'm not following the game's timeline. This is taking place 13 years after.
13 years afterwards.
Yes, 13 years after not only the explosion, but the second wave that happened.
Ah, so this is almost at a 2000 era.
Yeah, yeah, okay, close to that.
All right, so there you go, guys. If you're looking for kit-specific stuff.
Wear your nice kits. I want to see them.
So as far as your operation goes, what does the itinerary look like for the day? Is it, I guess the timeline of the game, is it like a like a one day or, you know, half day, or what are we looking at here?
So this is more, I guess you could call it half day. It's taking place during the day, but because it's, you know, winter, it's going to be, you know, nighttime anyways.
Well, this
it feels like it.
Literally the game start right now at 5 o'clock.
Yes. So that will be when we go in.
It's dark, guys.
Yeah. It's going to be dark. I wanted to plan this more over for summer, but it didn't really work out on that time frame. So I had to do a lot of changes. And so we came upon December, which was the best area for that.
Also, but it goes well with the theme because, like, at that time, too, it's really dark and it's
really dark,
cold.
Yeah. Raining, cold, even if it might even snow. Who knows, right?
If it rains, then it's lore specific.
lore accurate.
All right. So that's good. So you're looking at, like, from what, 5 o'clock till 12, you said?
Yeah, so it's going to be from, we're hoping to go in at 5 p.m., okay. And then it'll end at around 12. I wanted to make this not relatively long or short, just kind of that golden area because, you know, things could go wrong, people could leave, or, you know, any abundance of things could happen. And I just wanted to make sure that, especially for my first event, that I had everything in control as much as I possibly could. So I wanted to keep it short for this one instead of going into the, you know, the next morning type thing.
Yeah. I think you're used to how Panther Sims run here. Everybody sort of just dies out.
They fizzle out after 12.
After that first break, everyone's like, where's everybody?
Like, it's like, why am I even doing this again? Right?
All right. So, lessons learned from our previous Sims, guys. But, if you're going to attend this is a great event to attend because it is – it is a short sim. It is not mil simmy or anything like that. Clearly, when we get to the factions, and I'll read through some of the faction, lore and stuff, you'll realize that the game itself is very almost like a loner-ish, but you join groups sort of deal, and you mix and meld with them. That's gonna be interesting. So we got a little bit of the theme down. Let's go ahead and talk about the factions and a little bit of the objectives, and we're not giving away too much of the objectives, but the two factions, who are the two factions you're looking at here?
Faction one would be Clear Sky. Those are my boys. I love Clear Sky. And then faction two would be Monolith. They are quite close to each other on the map for where I'm putting them, but the areas in which they will fight will be further away from the spawns.
On your map there, it states that Clear Sky starts at
Clear Sky is going to start at Clear Sky is going to start at Prairie's Playhouse.
Yeah, Prairie's Playhouse down south. Yeah,
and then Monolith is going to set up at the church. I feel like that's kind of fitting.
Yeah,
like just a little bit.
No, I get it.
Yeah, not very subtle. Not very subtle. Clear Sky is going to secure the broken helicopters, their first FOB.
Yeah.
And then they're just going to start patrols, and then Monolith is going to secure the wooden bridge right next to the plane, and then they're going to set up a defense around the river because that will be the main choke point for both of the teams.
So as far as the map is concerned, are you doing full map?
Yes, it'll be the full map. The only other thing is city, which won't be open until 6 p.m.
Okay.
Just to make sure, because this is happening when drop-ins are happening.
Good idea. All right, so just a little bit of faction lore here. Clear Sky is a faction that's dedicating to researching and understanding the nature of the zone.
Yes.
So they're basically like almost like the scientists, the researchers, but not really the other research guys.
Yeah, they're more research paramilitary.
Yeah. So they go out there and actually do the field exercises and stuff. They believe that the zone is a living organism that can be studied and understood, and that artifacts hold a key to unlocking the secret. So this is essential, guys, because, again, some of the objectives are going to consist of these artifacts for this group here.
Yeah.
All right. Clear Skies is led by a group of scientists and researchers that are trying to uncover the mysteries of the zone and prevent it from spreading beyond the borders. Mm-hmm. So there is your lore specific for what, you know, if you're going to fall into Clear Skies, that is your mindset that you're going to come into.
Yeah.
Right. And for the Monolith, my favorite group that I like to...
Your favorite?
That I like to kill in the game.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you shocked me for a second there. Okay.
I don't think, okay, so game-wise, I don't think you can actually join their group because they're hostile no matter what.
Yeah, I think it's only in the mods you can. I think it's only a mod thing. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Monolith is a faction that is shrouded in mystery and secrecy. They are a cult-like organization that worships a mysterious stone called the Wishgranter, which said to be powerful and what grants. Monolith is known for their fanaticism and their willingness to do whatever it takes to achieve their goals. They often see the main antagonist of the series as they're basically the antagonist of the series. Like they're the bad guys regardless.
Yeah.
So if you like to be a baddie, and if you like these guys are basically like technology hoarders and they have like ray guns and stuff. So if you have cool looking like guns and stuff, rail guns, you know, whatever it else.
They're the most kitted.
Yeah, they're the most kitted. And they usually kitted out with the monochrome like black and white sort of
monochrome M81
M81 so if you have those colors, oh, that's great.
That's an easy camo to find. It's easy
for clear skies is always blue. That's why you pick blue for those
clear
photos.
Skies a little harder because like specifically it's blue tiger stripe, and that's very hard,
very
to
difficult
find.
And that's the Russian type too.
Yes,
as well.
Yes.
So if you have those, great. Join Clear Skies. Other than that, we're going to need more people for Monolith too, because they tend to be the baddie, but hey, it's cool being the bad guy.
The bad guys are cool sometimes. Come on. We need more people.
All right. So as far as, is it strict uniform or color requirements, or is the armbands a distinction?
It's not super strict, but again, I wanted to keep it more. This isn't a sim where you'd show up wearing full multicam with your armbands. I don't even think multicam was invented.
No, this is as far as 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. So the uniform requirements I made is I wanted to have only solid colors.
Yeah.
So that could be any color you want, but you have to have one color of your team, any article of clothing. So it could be a hoodie, a hat, bandana, pants, shoes, something like that, just to identify that what team you're on is that. Armbands are a last resort for the people who don't read the rules and show up anyways wearing the wrong stuff. So I advocate for hopefully no armbands, but, you know, if it comes down to it, yes, we can give out armbands as well.
Yeah. So, guys, show up in proper kit. It's pretty easy to do Clear Skies. It's pretty easy to do Monolith. Monolith can be all black because they literally all, you know, all black or all white. Or show up in Clear Skies. It's going to be all blue.
Yeah,
and you can wear a hoodie that's blue. You can wear a sweater that's blue. I mean, honestly, like if you're going for that stalker vibe, pretty much.
Yeah, it's accurate.
Yeah,
you don't even really need to wear like military related things. You can have like a chest rig and then civilian clothing, and I feel like that's a lot easier than most Sims do. So I mean, it's, you know, it's not that hard. Just follow it.
Just follow the color palette.
Yeah.
Right. Blue. And red,
blue,
or black.
Blue, right, or blue, red, or white. Yeah.
There you go. All right. Is there going to be other factions that are going to be in this event, or is it just those two right now, or is there NPC roles that people follow?
Yes. There's not going to be playable factions, like different factions aside from Clear Sky and Monolith. But I am getting a few NPCs that will be playing, you know, stuff from bandits, loners, ecologists, things like that. Just to world building, right? Just adding more variety there. We'll also be having, I want to say mutants, even though it's really just the zombies.
Yeah.
But if we had another way to do that, that would be cool. But for now, it's just, we're having just these small unplayable characters that you can find out on the field. And then maybe if this one's liked a lot and we do another one, we could add it to the next one.
Okay. I come to see that this is not going to be your first event. It's going to be multiple.
I think there's going to be a lot.
I hope great success for this because I love the game.
Yeah.
All right. As far as objectives go, how is it assigned and how is it completed? Well, we know how it's completed. You complete the task.
Yeah.
But how are you assigning these sort of, you know, just like in the game, you have a PDA.
Yeah.
Are we just using Discord to send out information, or are we using radios? Are we just assigning it based on, oh, you're here.
Yeah.
Here's your quest. You're a quest giver.
So Discord was a thing that was brought up. It's still in talks, I think.
Yeah.
But that is a very easy thing that we could set up, even using the voice chat or just using like a channel in general.
Yeah.
That's very easy to set up. But we have the option, if that doesn't go well, we have the option where, like I was talking about earlier, we have NPCs that you can go up to, and they can give you a variety of quests. Either it be, hey, go kill this guy and get a contract, or find this artifact for me, go do some recon in this area, where are the mutants at, stuff like that. And that will reward you with either more ammo, it could reward you with an artifact, it could reward you with other benefits. I don't really want to mention all of them.
Yeah.
I want to leave it as a surprise, but there's a lot of things you can get from it, and that's your main goal, is to just win more things for your team. Right?
Got it. So it's a team-based event, guys. Yeah. It's not individual. You're winning it for your team.
If it was individual, everyone would be loners, right?
I like that idea, too.
Well, you know, we'll get to that.
That's a faction on its own, guys.
Don't record that. Don't record that.
Too late. All right. So, great. So we have objectives in place. We have, again, you know, the PDA is centric to the game.
Yeah.
People can, if you have that Discord, you know, this might recommend, if we have that Discord, people can just chat up. It's like, oh, I died from this or whatever. Or, oh my God, like there's something here. You know, come over here.
Yes.
You're just giving it away to the other team, too, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to be fun and interesting to see. All right. So let's talk about, let's just jump into it, a special mechanics here. You know, your event comes with special mechanics that enhance the immersion and the challenge. These include emissions, mutants, artifacts, capturing wounded. Ooh. Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. Emission storms that forces players to seek shelter or respawn. So let's talk about this. This is big on the game.
Yes.
It happens a lot in the game. Big storm comes in. You're like, oh man, I gotta get to the closest outpost. I gotta get underneath something, under a bridge.
Yeah.
Right. You're not close enough to the town. You're gonna get under that bridge. You're gonna get under that structure, and you wait there. So how is this gonna play out for this game?
So
for your event.
This is the coolest thing that I've ever done. In terms of just like any game, but we are setting up a sound system where we will have an alarm, and we'll have hopefully it'll set up to other radios.
Yep.
We're trying to get that working.
Yeah, I'll get that working. I'm working.
Yeah,
on this.
Not me. I don't take credit. But we have it set up to the radios, and it'll play this alarm, and as soon as that plays, a mission.
Yep.
Right. It'll force players to, whether they're in a fight, whether they're out there completing a contract, collecting artifacts, they have to run into the nearest building they are. And that could be anywhere from, you know, two-story or the old cabins, church, Wolf's Den even, inside the broken helicopter, plane, right? And if you don't make it by the time that the siren goes off, you die, right? Just like in the games, right? You don't get second chances for that stuff. Once it hits you, you're done. And I feel like that will add a ton of immersion, a ton of fun, especially when you might need to work together with the enemy to find an area to get under.
That was my question there. That's gonna be interesting.
Yes.
If you got you know, one clear sky and one monolith, and they're in the same structure, like, hey bud,
let's say
you want to work together.
Yeah, it's an example, but let's say you're both fighting each other and you both run out of ammo, right? The only other place that you can go and reload is at your main base, or if an emission happens, you can go and reload under the building you're at. So let's say you and an enemy are fighting it out. Emission happens. Well, we don't have any ammo. Let's just work together, get to a safe space, and then we can reload with each other, right? Ooh. And then maybe you could plan something else that happens, right? It's a bunch of, it's way more of a role play aspect than it is entirely just force on force, right? You want to talk to people. You want to make deals. If it means securing a victory for your team, right?
So you're saying share ammo or reloading. So I guess we'll jump into a little bit of the game rules here, or the how it starts here. When you start, do you start with any ammo, or do you start with some ammo, or how is ammo provided? Is it ammo specific game?
Yeah. So ammo is you start with the most ammo you can at the start of the game if you choose to. I mean, you don't have to, but I expect people will. But for AEGs, I think it's 3 mid caps or 1 high cap, and then gas, it's 5 gas magazines, right? That's 30, 35 to 30 rounds.
Yeah.
So you can start with those, but as the game goes on, you will be running out of ammo, and of course you'll be out in the field a lot.
Yep.
You're not going to be returning to base very often, and that creates urgency to get things done. It also requires people to play safer. Because you don't want to be losing all the stuff you got and then waste all that ammo when you could have just, you know, stayed quiet, stuff like that. So when it comes to ammo, the only other way they can reload it is if they're at base.
So at base with their packs, and they have to reload with their...
with speed loaders,
with their speed loaders. You can't bring your speed loaders outside the zone, guys. You are not... like, in the zone, you can't bring your speed loaders.
You can, you can hold your ammo on you, but you can't reload unless happens.
No loose ammo on you to reload into the mags. Yeah. It has to be on the mag already. Got it. All right. So that's going to be creating some interesting gameplays there. And, yeah, just like a mil sim, it's the same thing. You don't reload outside. You reload at your respawn, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good to hear. All right. So we talked a little bit about the Storm. I will try, I promise to get that working for you. I'll figure out a technology. I have all the technologies. It's just the matter is like power and all that stuff out there. So we'll figure it out. So mutants, let's talk about this. Who, what, where, Bloodsuckers, Chimera, Pseudodogs, question mark. Like who are we dealing with mutants here?
Yeah.
Or are we just doing generic zombie?
So like I mentioned before, for this one, we're just going to go with generic zombie. It's kind of upsetting, but I find it really difficult, especially because we're in the winter and it's less people.
Yeah.
I need volunteers for this, right? For the mutants. So Bloodsuckers have such a complex move set.
Yeah.
Same with, I don't know how we would, you know, put a Chimera in there. I don't know how we do that.
Some dude in a suit.
Yeah, like
on fours.
On all fours, right? Like that would be very difficult. And I felt like just to keep it more simple, but also still be scary at the same time is let's just throw zombies in there, right?
Yeah.
It's still a threat. They can still shoot, right? It's not like they don't have guns. They're just less accurate. They're, you know, they can still use melees as well.
So we're talking about just in sort of a layman's term, it's just a person who's invincible out there with just his hands.
Yeah.
If he touches you, you're basically done.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't shoot at him because he's invincible.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you're shooting at him, how much mags do you have?
Yeah, you're gonna make him angry and you're wasting ammo. It's not a good idea, right?
So got it. So almost like a zombie game, but we're calling it mutants here.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's good. That's hey guys, if you see a mutant, don't shoot at him. So are we gonna be able to identify these mutants pretty easily or
I haven't found a way to identify them yet. I think it's scarier if I just put them looking like everyone else.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what they are. They were normal people
whose,
you know, brains got fried and now they wander around. Yeah. And I feel like that has another element of scary to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think, I don't think I'm going to put identification on them, but obviously they won't be talking. They won't be, you know, moving really fast like a human.
Just like former soldiers that were there and then their brains got fried because of the emissions and as well as all the radiation. And then afterwards, they're just walking around just like...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be like Minecraft noise. Don't get too close to them. Oh, my God. Get a bunch of kids.
Baby zombies, man.
Baby zombies. All right, next up here, it's going to be a fun one. Artifacts are items that can benefit a faction if they find them.
Yes.
All right, so artifacts, any sneak peeks, any kind of benefits that you want to talk about or that you're willing to talk about? I'm sure you want to keep these secrets because whenever you receive an artifact, it's some sort of bonus towards your character or, in this case, your faction for this event. So anything to say about this?
Yeah, so I'll go over one.
Okay.
I'll talk about one. Most of the artifacts are going to look different, and they're going to have they'll be pretty bright, so it's not like you're not going to be able to find any. But there is one artifact, so I'll give an example of a benefit. There's one artifact you can find, and when given to an NPC, that can give you immunity to emissions.
Ooh.
So you can walk freely while the siren's playing, and that can be a massive game changer. Right.
Yeah.
If someone's in a building or there's a bunch of people in a building and the emission goes off and you have a grenade and that artifact that saves your life, you wipe all of them and take whatever they have. Right.
Ooh.
So it can add a lot of counterplay to just, you know, sitting in buildings and camping.
Is it just the user having emission?
Yes,
like having immunity to it?
Just the user.
While holding it.
Just the user. But again, you have to give the artifact away. So it only works while you have it.
Got it.
It only works while you're carrying it on you. And the only way to help benefit your team is you have to give it up. Yep. So it's this more of this, it's this weird moral standing on whether you keep your artifacts or help your team win in the long run, right?
Oh, your team's going to hate you if they they find out that you have an artifact on you and you're like, we needed this, but you kept holding it.
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder what the other ones are, but you're not going to say anything about it.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to say anything.
So, guys, work for those artifacts when it comes up on either the PDA or your mission or your quest, because it is important. That I'm guessing this is vital to your game's like goal at the end to win.
The artifacts are a key part of the main story, so keep that in mind.
Okay, so focus on those, guys. Keep your head in the game. It is not a regular Sunday Airsoft game, guys. Come to Panther if you want to play Sunday games, but if you want to play this game, play the objective.
Yeah.
All right, and I have here interrogation, so there's capturing involved, you said?
Yes, let me find that.
Yeah. Where is it on
here? Nope. There we go. I think this is it.
Yeah.
Perfect. So, interrogations. Essentially, how they work is if somebody is wounded on the ground and they do not have a teammate nearby to help them, you can go and pick them up, tell them that you are now going to take them back, and you can take them to your base.
Okay.
You can steal whatever's on their body. Obviously, not personal items, but if they have an item from the
artifact.
Sim. Yes, like an artifact. Yep. You can steal those from them. And you can ask them anything you want. And if they want to tell you to make the game more fun, they can. If they don't want to, that's on them, right? It's entirely up to them. But I feel like it would make the game a lot more fun if you just play along with it, right? It's a role play thing, right? Imagine your life's actually in danger. There's no response, right?
And if your faction is looking for you and you have set specific item, can you trade with
the
other faction?
You're allowed anything from training... Or sorry, trading to stealing to
bargaining with them.
Bargaining, right?
Okay.
I mean you could do anything. You could even team up with another person.
Person who got captured, you better be important.
Yes. If you don't have anything of worth.
If you're not worth it, I don't think your team's gonna come rescue you.
Yeah, I don't think it's wise.
All right. So that's good. Let's see here. All right, so since we're talking about game rules anyway, let's jump into some of the game rule specifics here. So we were just covering magazine ammo, a little bit of FPS restriction. It's the same as Panthers, guys, so that's pretty much down to it.
Yep.
Is there anything specific on FPS? I think this one you're allowed full auto throughout the entire
game. Full auto anywhere. Yeah. There is no...
Good luck wasting your ammo, guys.
Yes. I kind of want more people to do full auto, though.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of, yes, they will waste ammo, but it'll be an experience that you don't get to have in regular games. You never get to full auto in buildings.
Yeah.
You never get to full auto less than 30 feet, right?
Yeah.
It's more like, do I really want to get pelted?
Yeah.
Right? It takes more, it makes it slower, right?
Yeah.
Just like I was saying earlier.
I agree. Yeah. That reloading aspect really just puts in the, hey, do I dump this entire mag on this guy or do I save it and then fight somewhere else?
Yeah.
So there's some fun stuff. This is why I do gas blowback games, because you have only limited ammo.
Yeah.
All right. So, of course, iPro on at all times.
Yeah.
Once the sim starts to the end, please keep your iPro on.
Even when you're sleeping, if you decide to sleep.
If you decide to sleep, this is quite a short sim, so I don't think you'll be sleeping. But, hey, I mean, it's all part of the lore, so if you're going to sleep on the side of the campfire there, feel free to do so. Call your hits at all times, guys. Let's just go over some of these, wounded state, carry wounded state, and capture wounded states. So when you're wounded, you call your hits, or you LARP out your death, you act it out,
you can do either or. Obviously, I prefer the, acting it out, because it's a lot funnier and it's a lot more fun.
And how long are you going to hold that state, wounded state, for?
I think it's 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Okay. I think it is 5 minutes. I probably wrote it in the rules, but I don't exactly remember the full time.
Yeah.
But I'm fairly certain it's 5 minutes.
Okay, perfect. So 5 minutes, if your teammate's around.
They
can basically, I didn't put it in here, but they can basically revive you. What is the revive state here, or is it just carry the wounded back to base?
You can carry them back to base, or if they have a tourniquet. We always use tourniquets.
Okay.
If they have a tourniquet, you can place that on them.
Bring your tourniquets, guys.
ASG usually sells them as well.
Yep.
If you don't have one on hand already, the fake ones. So those are like
By the way, it's DSG now.
DSG. Yep. Delta Sports Gear. My fault.
Yeah. I know. It's going to take me a while, too, guys. That's how long the podcast has not been running for. They have changed names.
Yeah.
Anyways, so tourniquet. If within that 5 minutes, no tourniquet, then are you just going to put on your red light and then walk away towards your spawn, right?
Yeah. Just put on the red light, walk over. And one thing I also want to mention is if the player is full dead, like red light and everything, you cannot bring them back to your base or interrogate them. They are fully dead, so they are no longer a threat.
Okay, perfect. So there you go, guys. You can carry a wounded or you could tourniquet them. If they don't have a tourniquet, you're going to have to drag them over to
Or find
base.
Someone who does, right?
Yeah. Or find someone who does, who is willing to have them use the tourniquet.
Yeah.
All right. So if you have a tourniquet on and you die, is it just dead at that point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
it's only one life.
One life. Got it. All right. And same goes with capturing wounded. He has to be wounded as well, guys. We were just talking about that. He has to be wounded to be able to capture him. He can't be dead.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else in the game rules that we missed here or anything like that? Other than the emergency or ceasefire rule, we usually talk about that in-game. I think everybody knows that anyway.
I mean, it's basic for all of the things. Game rules.
Someone was asking, grenades, are they allowed?
Grenades are allowed.
40 mics or anything?
40 mics. 40 mics are allowed as well.
Yeah. Is there a limit?
There's
no limit. If you can afford it. Bring it.
No limit on the 40 mics. I did that on purpose. Bring as many as you want. It'll be funny. Snipers are also allowed. Most milsims that we've had here did not allow snipers because it didn't match the play style.
Yeah.
But I feel like for a game where you're going to be doing a lot of sneaking, you're going to be doing a lot of, you know, extracting with stuff, snipers are totally viable as long as you can see in the dark, right?
Yes, guys. This is the timeline you're working with. Look how dark it is. Have fun sniping at 10 feet.
Unless you got a thermal scope.
Yeah.
Right? It's going to be a bit hard, but hey.
Hey, if you got the money for the thermal challenge, right? Yeah, go for it. All right, so here's a little bit of my suggestions when it comes to this. When I heard about this, I wanted to talk to you about it, but you already heard about it. For future events, more factions would be great.
Yeah.
I think you covering just the two factions, you start small.
Yeah.
Right, this is great. There are other factions in the zone. There's different goals and alliances for them. So one day we'll get everybody in the loner state. That'll be freaking hilarious. Just go in there, free for all.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to turn out, but it's going to be hilarious.
So actually, to talk about the extra factions, before I started writing this sim for Stalker, I had another one which involved it was like different space factions. Right?
Oh,
like
Starfield.
kinda. It didn't take place in space. It was still Earth, but his storyline was, it's not a big deal. But I tried doing three factions for that at first, and the reason I cut it down is because it felt too ambitious for my first one. So that's why I definitely wanted to just stick with the two main teams, and then if this one was fun or I learned some more things from this, I could totally add more. Why not?
Don't try and just dive into deep end of the pool. Try,
small.
Start small and then work your way up. Yeah. Because, like I said, I love this type of event, and post-apocalypse is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
All right. So, you got like, other...
Special guest.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Annabelle. So, other examples of, groups or factions that are out there is, like, Duty, Freedom, Bandits, Loners, Ecologists, and Military. Those are, they have set specific lore for each one of them. So, if you guys want to dive deep into the lore of it, there are countless YouTube videos out there. If you play the game and you know it, go for it.
Yeah.
But if you just start talking lore-specific in the game there, that'll be epic. Because, if you're going into, I used to be a loner like you.
Yeah.
Something like that, right? I used to work for military.
Yeah.
But, something like that.
I do encourage, the role play is the biggest thing I encourage. That's what makes the game special. That's where you get all the really fun moments from.
Yeah.
I want to say I based a lot of the rules and, the writing around Op Shanty. That was, a year ago now?
A year and a half ago.
A year and a half. It was way more roleplay centric, and I loved that part. I made my own character.
Yeah, McCree.
Yeah, talked in my own accent. It was awesome, and I would really love to see that from this event.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember me presenting you with the body cam?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And you're like, So do stuff like that, guys, because backstabbing in this game is hella fun.
Yes.
And making them act for it is even way better.
It's hella fun and it's even funnier.
So Quest, I already recommended you to PDA because that is something that is big on the game. And, you know, to my heart, it's like seeing someone, it's like, oh, I died.
Yeah.
Right? You're just looking at your PDA, ha, he died.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, there's something big here. It's like, we're going there, guys. So, you know, even if the game master is just giving those information, like, guys, there's, you know, there's something here or yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Another one that I'm trying to implement right now, and hopefully I get it by the time the game starts, is a FM radio system.
Yes.
So you guys understand what FM radio is. It's on your Baofengs and stuff. You basically run a channel, or not a channel, but, you know, like, you know, Z95 or something like that. You run that channel, and then I could, you know, we're going to play some of the music that is actually from the game itself.
Yes.
So that'll add the ambience of things.
Yeah.
And again, me playing the game, I know exactly, you know, which music and which ambience this gets it, because it is so big in the lore and the game itself, and as well as the, you know, the total ambience things.
Yeah.
So I will try and get that for you guys. If I don't, we're going to go Discord with the channel that's just going to be muted. You guys can jump in there, and then we could just have the chat going from there.
I made a playlist. Check my Spotify.
Yeah, I will link it down below.
Shameless plug.
Yeah, I will link it down below, guys, because it is a really good playlist, and it'll give you that mindset of, you know, what is this, you know, the ambience of this game. You know, you're sitting in a campfire out there, and or you're sitting with a group of people. You turn on the radio and you're like, ah, yes, we're relaxing here. Yeah. We're chilling.
It has that vibe. It has that vibe.
So I will try and get to I will try and get that to you guys, and hopefully, you know, I get something going from there. Another one that I think might add something is radiation zones. I don't know if you thought of that yet, but I know there's emissions, which kind of restrict it, but radiation zones. Either, you know, at spots where, you know, like, let's say swamps or something.
Yeah.
There's a radiation zone there. And then you have to wear, like, some sort of PPE or something, or a mask or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Not for this event, for your future events, or even this event. What do you think?
So I'm glad you brought that up. For this event, I'm not going to focus on that.
Yep.
I'm just going to leave it as it is, trying to make it as simple and easier to manage, given the things. But, you know what, I'll give a sneak peek. If this Milsim does go well, I am planning to do a hardcore mode for another event, which will be a lot more restrictive in what you can do, a lot more dangerous areas, and hopefully a lot more players that will be, you know, just shoot on site instead of the role play aspect. So,
you're asking Tarkov level.
Yes.
I'm friendly.
More Tarkov than it is Stalker. But
something about like East European and, you know, Russia specific, you know, or Slavic specific companies.
Yeah.
Something about them with hardcore games and just like kill on sites and survival. Something about that. They always have that sort of like.
They do it so good though.
It's like, we want to punish the players.
Yes.
And then in the West is like, hey. Press A.
Yeah.
Okay. Great achievement.
Yeah.
What? I come from the golden age of gaming where, you know, you look up Mario and you're like, how do I play this game?
Yeah.
Oh, I died. All right. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, there
it's
we go.
Trial and error.
Trial and error. Yeah. So in this game, you guys are going to have a lot of trial and errors, but hey, you can respawn, right?
Yeah. Oh, at least there's that. Yeah.
All right. So there's radiation zones there, but again, that's for future. Other than that, is there anything you would like to add into this segment before we head off here?
Yes. I said it before, but I'll say it again. Don't wear multicam, please. I love multicam. My whole kit's multicam. Do not wear it to the event.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
again,
it.
Again, you know, this is 13 years after the Chernobyl event.
Yes.
So this is less than the 2000s.
This is like 1990 something.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're that era. Like, wear M81s, feel free.
Yeah.
Wear your OD greens. They're still popular back in the day.
I don't want to see any cry JPCs out there. None.
Wear your Russian gear. Not the modern one.
Yeah.
But the old Russian gear.
Wear whatever you want as long as it looks the part, right?
Yeah.
Right? Just anything.
Make sure that you stand out as a character. That's the big one.
Yes. Have your own spin on things.
If if you play as the main character, great, because everybody else is playing the main character. Yes. I want egos to flare.
This is your chance to be you. You're not a soldier anymore. You're your own person, yeah, right? There's no military.
If you want to do shoot 'em up, join a regular Sunday game, guys, yeah, or Saturday game. All right. Yeah.
It's starting to rain now. That was perfect timing.
Yeah, perfect timing. It's. Well, I hope my equipment doesn't get damaged. All right. So where can you get the tickets for these... For this event?
Yeah, so you can buy them online on ASG's site, not DSG.
They haven't changed their
website is still the same. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's ASG/events.
Yeah, ASG/events. Yeah.
That's where you can find it. They have the ticket up there. It has the
name
and everything.
I'll link it down below, guys. Yeah, it'll be there. Purchase it.
And then obviously you can buy it in person at DSG, and then just decide the team that you want to pick from there. So.
Join Monolith.
$40, no tax. Well, it's taxed in.
That's a pretty good price, guys. That's a pretty good price. If you want a mini event, yeah, that is not a milsim, that is not too hardcore-ish, you don't even have to train for it.
That's the lowest they told me I could go. So that's
wow,
the lowest I went.
Guys, he's not making
for
any
the people,
profits.
For
he's
the people.
You're not making any profits out of this, are you?
I mean, I am, but I'm also paying other people,
yeah,
and I have to pay for all the stuff I'm buying. So I didn't even know I was going to be making anything off this. Yeah. I kind of just did it because this is something I'm passionate about. I wanted to write something, and I wanted to see it through. So
wow,
that's why I made it.
Damn. Yeah. All right. So, guys, all that money is just going to go to the events.
Yes.
I don't think anything's going to this man here. He is
maybe
going
100,
for the lowest
low. Maybe 100 bucks.
Yeah. Well, give him coffee, give him a pat on the back for running this event, because we need events. We need some sort of scenario, you know, in our,
aside from the regular games, just, yeah, something to do, right?
All
right,
perfect.
Awesome.
All right. Nope, that is it for me.
Sweet.
This is Kaz right here, guys. Future manager, yeah, of Panther.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully.
And
in a week,
yeah,
or so. Yeah.
Give him a pat on the back for doing all the hard work here, because dude, you dug that trench back there.
I did not
awesome.
Dig it. I did not dig
oh, okay,
it.
Okay.
Excavator.
But
yes,
he was like, we need to do something with this trench. The people are yelling
at
me.
We needed a trench.
Yeah. So there you go. If you have any field improvements or anything, your man right here, he listens. Well, sometimes, but not all the time.
Yeah.
So that is it for this segment of Pantherasaw Folding Table Talk, guys. This is Poi. That's Kaz. And we'll see you on the next one.
Awesome.
Bye-bye,
guys.
Bye, guys.